Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts?
Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 30. My name is Emily Chadbourne and I am recording this particular episode of Unashamedly Human, the podcast live over in That Crazy Thing Called Life, which is my free Facebook group. So if you hear me shouting out to people or answering people's questions, all good. I haven't gone crazy. I am actually in conversation with the community over in that free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life. So today I wanted to do this little life lesson live because I wanted to talk about the negative self-talk that I have been putting on out there about my book. So for those of you who are not yet playing at home, I'm writing a book. I've been talking about writing this book for a really long time. And in preparation for writing this book, I decided I would write a blog a week for 52 weeks. And there are a few reasons that I wanted to do this. The first was I needed to start building trust and integrity with myself around actually following through on what I say I'm going to do. I wanted to show some consistency to my market. So every single Tuesday, come hell or high water, whether it was Christmas Day, my birthday, a bad day, a good day, an inspired day, a flat day, I was going to produce a blog. I wanted to give myself the identity of a writer so that I could take that identity and turn myself into an author. And I also wanted to build the skill, and it is a skill, of sitting down and producing content when I didn't feel inspired, when I didn't really have anything to say, because I knew that that was going to be important if ever I was going to sit down and face the seemingly mountainous task of writing a book. So I did this. I did 52 blogs, one a week, every Tuesday for an entire year. And if you want to read them, hop over to my website, emilychadbourne.com, go to the Read Me page. And some of them are really good. I'm going to be really honest. Some of them are great. Some of them are absolute fucking dog shit and probably aren't worth reading. You'll know about three lines in. But some of them are really good and got some really great feedback. And it's always really lovely to know that the content that you're putting out there is helping someone think about their lives a little bit differently or feel a little bit different or take different action, and those three things manifest in different results, right? What we think, how we feel, and how we behave will manifest in a different reality for ourselves. If you can hear that weird noise in the background, it's just my dog. I don't know what he's playing with. It's best not to ask. We'll work it out later, I'm sure, won't we, Theodore? I wrote these blogs, felt really good about it, and then I was like, right, now I'm going to go and write this book. And then, obviously, I talked about writing a book for a really long time, and nothing happened, because sitting down and writing a book is not the same as sitting down and writing a 1,000-word blog. I couldn't quite summon up the same motivation or the same accountability that I had for the blogs. And then I was talking to my coach about it. Everyone should have a coach. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you earn. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care whether you run your own business, whether you don't run your own business, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're not in a relationship. If you're a human being and you're trying to sort out the clusterfuck that is your brain by yourself, you are asking for trouble. So even if it's not a coach, maybe it's a counselor, maybe it's a therapist, maybe it's a really fucking good friend, whatever it is. But if you are trying to get through life without losing face, without being honest with yourself, without expressing your truth, without looking at your fucking dirty bits, promise you now, it's going to be a hardship. Anyway, so I'm talking to my coach, right? One of my coaches, I have more than one. And he said to me, he was like, what is it that you are waiting for to write this book? And I said, I'm waiting for this like divine inspiration. Like I have got this idea in my head that I have to find the strategy that means that this is going to be flow and fun and not easy. I know it's going to be challenging, but, you know, but it's going to be inspired. And he said, right, okay, that's the strategy that you would like to have, like the Carrie Bradshaw strategy. You want to have a bowl of green apples next to a packet of Marlboro Lights and an open window, don't smoke, by the way, by an open window and a laptop, and you just want to be inspired to write this book in, like, what, a week? And I was like, yes, that. How do we make that work? And then after we both laughed, he turned around, he's like, what strategy do you currently have for creating content and meeting deadlines? And I was like, well, my current strategy is holy, 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 holy shit, lastminute.com, crying, frantic, and a little bit feeling like I am, like, just pulling shit out of my brain and whacking it down and hoping it will do. And I was like, I don't want to have that same strategy with writing this book. I want to change that strategy. And he said something, and it was so fucking simple and yet so profound, and quite often the most simple things are the most profound things. He was just like, but it's the only strategy you've got. And up until now, it's completely worked for you. It might not have always felt great, but it has always worked for you. And I looked back and I thought, you know, every essay I submitted at university, even my dissertation, I think I was still writing the conclusion of my dissertation the morning I had to hand my dissertation in, bound. You know, everything that I have done in my life is always kind of last minute. I get inspired, I take immediate action, I do it. Or I wait until the last minute and I wait until my back's really up against the wall. And then the inspiration that I've been searching for kind of like appears like my own savior. And I thought about it and I was like, why am I trying to ask myself to be somebody different to do this monumentous thing? Then it occurred to me that actually this strategy that I have, the only strategy that I have, the strategy that's always worked for me, could work for me even better if I stopped resisting it and started embracing it. Fucking hallo bloody Luna. There's a little idea for you. So after that little nugget of realization, I put a call out to social media and I asked for some women to come forward to volunteer their time and their energy to be my accountability buddies. So there are 17 women who form Em's book club, and every fortnight I send them a chapter of my book to read. And there are three rules of book club. The first is that they will, in fact, read the chapter. They won't just, oh, I haven't had time this fortnight, or I couldn't be bothered. Because if I need to be, I need them to hold themselves accountable so that I can hold myself accountable, and vice versa. The second rule of book club was that they would follow the feedback framework which I send out with each chapter, and that their feedback would be clear, it would be kind, and it would be constructive. And the third rule of book club is that nobody else gets to see what I have sent them. Like, they don't share it with anyone else. They don't, like, tell their best mate, hey, Shaz, come around, check out what Emily Chopin wrote this week. So it's not for public consumption yet, and it's very rough first draft. So then I started writing, and it's just the strategy's completely worked. And I've talked about it on social media. I've been really public about it. My level of accountability around it is really high because I'm constantly telling everybody about it. And even this last submission that went in on Friday, because I was so panicked with time and I had such a big week. I had three massive speaking engagements and they involved a lot of travel and a lot of planning and a lot of energy. And I was sort of talking about it on my Insta stories, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. And a couple of members of book club even said, look, you know, it's okay if you don't. And I was like, no, it's not okay. My integrity means that it is not okay. If I say this one week, I'm sorry, I just had too much on. I'm not going to get this chapter in this week. I get to say that every other week. Like, my integrity means that I have to back myself. I have to trust myself to execute, even if it means a couple of nights I stay up later than I would like, even if it means tears at bedtime, even if it means looking at my laptop searching for some goddamn words, even if it means that sort of last minute frantic panic. It's my strategy. It's the only strategy that I've got, and I will lose that strategy if I start letting myself off the hook. So I have submitted four chapters so far, and there's absolutely no way in hell. There is no way in hell that sitting on my own with no deadline, because as of yet, no one has offered to publish this work for me. potentially because I haven't shown it to anyone outside of book club. But, you know, with no deadline, with no book contract, I've got no deadline. It's, you know, it's like, oh, I'm just writing this book when I feel like it. It's never going to happen. So this sort of a really high level of accountability that book club have given me, I'm now like banging out this work. It's always frantic. It's always last minute. But it's my strategy. And this strategy works for me. So I'm not going to deny it or demonize it or say it's a bad strategy. It's the only strategy I've got and it is working for me. I invite you actually to look at the strategies that you use in life and ask yourself, where is it working for me? Where is it not so resourceful for me? And how can I make it be better? Because the way that I've made this strategy even better for me is by acknowledging the strategy. So what that means is the moment I submit a chapter to book club on the Friday, every other Friday, I then don't really think about my book for another week and a half. And towards the second week of the week I'm going to have to submit to book club, I begin to start thinking about it. And I know that the actual writing process will get done in a 24-hour period. It will be frantic. There will be tears. I'll be staring at my laptop, screaming into the abyss. I know that's going to happen. But I also know that I could start that process earlier and waste more of my time and still get the same result. So working with this strategy has just freed up so much more of my time. I'm not going to start trying to write the next chapter tomorrow. There's no point. I know it's 10 days away, so I know I'll just fuck around. So I just don't even try doing it until it's like right up against the fucking line. Anyway, so 4 chapters submitted. No way I'd have done it without book club. Strategy is working for me. I'm making the strategy work even better for me now. I'm not resisting the strategy because I'm freeing up time and energy and space. And I'm really like allowing myself to spend time thinking about my book instead of writing it, which therefore makes the writing easier. And I think all 4, so that's 4 chapters, that's 8 weeks. Across all 8 weeks, every time I've spoken about writing my book, I've talked about how hard it is, or like on my Insta stories or my social media. One reason is, I think it's really important that you know it's hard, because I think we live in a world where magic pills are being fucking sold left, right and center. None of them work, obviously, but we all want the quick fix. We all want the instant weight loss program. We all want it done in 12 weeks or 6 weeks. And I'm telling you now, the stuff that is worth having, the stuff that is sustainable, the lifetime shifts that you are looking for, the mindset shifts that you are looking for, the financial shifts that you are looking for, the relationships you're looking for, none of them is found in the short term. That is long term, forever fucking work. And it is dedication and it is hard sometimes. And so I am always striving to be really honest in my marketing. And always striving to be the living demonstration, the model, if you like, for my clients and potential clients. It is hard. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's not. It's fucking hard. Dealing with my own head, really hard. Being in business myself, really hard. Writing a book, really hard. It just is. And you don't get... Oh, hello. Someone with a ridiculously loud motorbike. Oh, do you have a small penis? You know, you don't get to take the quick fix through life. You don't get to take the shortcut and get the result. You've got to be in for the hard, quite often mundane and boring shit that success demands that you put in. There have been weeks where it's been hard, but like I know what I'm producing is pretty good, or I'm excited by what I'm producing. And then there've been a couple of weeks where it's been so hard that I can't see that what I am writing is any good, because the feeling of hardness overshadows my ability, if you like, to be able to sort of feed back to myself the quality of what I've written. Anyway, the last week was especially hard because of the time, the exceptional time pressure that I was under. And a few people who've been watching my Insta stories, they've been watching my Facebook stories, they've just been watching me on social media, have actually said, hey, you need to stop talking about how hard it is because it's a bit boring. And also, here's the other thing. Once I submit the work to book club, it's never bad. And so I think in the last week I was talking not just that it's hard, but also that like it's shit. What I'm writing is shit. This isn't even worth reading, but I'm going to submit it anyway so that I can fulfill the integrity and the accountability part of my own sort of contract that I have with myself and book club, and that's really important for me. So I'm submitting it anyway, even though it'll probably never make it to the book because it's so shit. And people, and then obviously my book club read it and they were like, but it's not shit. So what is going on here? And a couple of them have been quite challenging in reflecting that back to me. And I'm really grateful for it, because unless we are prepared to look at the feedback that the universe is giving us through the results that we are getting, the reactions that we are getting, the manifestation that we see in front of us in our reality, unless we are willing to look at that feedback, we're never going to be able to make adjustments to our own selves, to our own internal representation, to our own thoughts, to our own feelings, to our own actions, to shift the manifestation that we see in our results. And so, as confronting as it can be to have someone be like, hey, Em, this bullshit that you're spouting on social media about how you're not very good at writing and about how the writing that you're doing isn't very good and it's not good enough for your book and it's really hard, and then you go and produce writing like this, like, what the fuck is that then? And so I've really thought about it, and it's been really fucking confronting. And I almost didn't do this video today because it's so confronting to have to unpack my brain for you, but I also think it will be really, really valuable for someone to hear what I'm about to say. So I sat down with a cup of tea and a pen and a paper, and I asked myself to witness myself in my internal dialogue and my external dialogue about writing my book. And the reason I asked myself to witness myself and not be myself was because when I am myself, I feel the way I feel. When I witness myself, and I'm getting much better at doing this now because I've been intensely meditating for the last 4 years, or maybe not the last 4 years, probably actually the last 2 years, if I'm going to be honest, like daily and intensely in the last few months, I have to witness myself being the person who has those thoughts, because otherwise I'm too close to it and I'll just have those thoughts. So I don't know if that makes sense. I'm sure it will make sense to some of you, and it might not make any sense to some of you, and both is fine. But yeah, it's like I have to see myself having the thought so that I can be objective about it and not emotional about it. So I wrote down 5 things that I think are potential things that are going on. The first, oh God, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Okay, God, right, deep breath and just fucking tight butt moment, Em. All right, the first is, I'm playing out this strategy of pretending like the work that I'm producing isn't very good, even though it turns out it is good, to play into my need for significance. Oh, oh, and attention. So imagine the skinny girl at school who's always like, oh my God, I'm like so fat. And she knows she's not. Like, oh my God, I'm just like so ugly. And she knows she's stunning. Think that. And I don't want to, even for a second, contemplate that I might be doing that. But I have to put it on the table as something that I am potentially doing, if I'm going to be really fucking honest about it. Guys, this book is so shit. I think I'm writing a really good book. And I have to be really kind to myself as I give myself this feedback, because my instant reaction to that, my visceral reaction, my emotional reaction, my frequency around that is so gross that I berate myself for it. If I'm doing that, if that's the strategy I'm playing out here, hey guys, I'm really bad. Oh my God, I'm so bad at writing, guys. Oh, you really love the writing I just submitted to you, book club. If that is what I'm doing, that's gross, man. And that's not who I want to be. Now, what I want to do is berate myself for that and tell myself that I'm a knob and tell myself that I am not a very nice person. And it's easy to go into self-loathing when you see that happening. But a bit like when a baby falls over when they're taking their first step, we don't berate them for falling over. We congratulate them for taking the step. And I am learning more and more and more through the tools and the techniques that I employ day in, day out, that I teach to my clients, to stop berating myself for the fall and to congratulate myself for the step. And so I have to congratulate myself for even being willing to witness myself potentially playing out this as a strategy. That was number one. The second one, this is a bit like Brené Brown when she talks about foreboding joy. If I can lower your expectation, or if I can lower my expectation of what you are going to think of my writing, then I put protection between me and your response. So if I say to myself over and over again, this is so shit, this is so shit, this is so shit, and my book club come back with feedback, which is, that wasn't great, was it? I'd be like, I knew that. I did know that. I said that. Guys, I'm being proved right. So it's like a protection mechanism. Now, here's the thing. When I expand that out further, when I really genuinely think about that, even if I had said over and over and over again, guys, it's writing so shit, so shit, so shit, and book club would come back with, yeah, it's not great, is it? I would be fucking gutted. Anyway. And so, and this is what Brené Brown talks about when she talks about foreboding joy. You know, we deny ourselves really sinking into the moment of love or connection or joy or success because we're scared it might get taken away. And so we think we're protecting ourselves by not allowing ourselves to feel fully into the joy of a moment or to live wholeheartedly in our lives. And yet when the thing gets taken away, when the person dies, when the accident happens, when the redundancy comes, you're still going to be as gutted anyway. It doesn't soften the blow in any way, shape or form. You've just denied yourself living that wholehearted joy or loving that deeply or connecting that much or, you know, being that in love with your life. So that was the second thing. If I lower my expectation myself, then if your feedback isn't great, then I think I won't be as disappointed. But the reality is I probably would be anyway. The third thing is that it plays so well into my victimhood. Oh, victimhood is just going to follow me around like a fucking dirty fart for the rest of my life, basically. And I'm making peace with that. It is my go-to strategy for everything. Ironically, in this particular chapter that I submitted for this fortnight for book club, it's all about victimhood and jealousy. And so the irony that as I am writing about victimhood and what victimhood from a very young age gave me, which is a feeling of connection to self and a kind of like almost protection, like it's like a sadistic feeling. It's like a horrible feeling that I actually quite like, of just being like, poor me. Like the rest of the world, and you can feel so connected to yourself when you are in victimhood. And I wonder whether, as I was thinking about victimhood and talking about victimhood and writing about victimhood and telling my story about my origin of victimhood, whether or not that prompted me to behave more like a victim. Whatever our predominant thoughts are, will be the vibrational frequency that we are in, and therefore the way that we will act. And so, if I'm talking and thinking about victimhood, I am without doubt feeling it. And if I'm feeling it, I will act from that identity. And therefore, all of my talk about my writing was that I'm not good enough anyway. Hey guys, I'm shit anyway. Poor me. Everyone else is better than I am. So that was the third thing. The fourth thing was that it was like a distraction. Is this just like almost like a, hey, look over here at me talking about how shit my writing is, because then that takes away from the huge subject matter, which I'll be really honest, has been really confronting to write about. It's really confronting to write about how jealous you are and how much of a victim you've been your whole life. And I found it really hard to write. And when I say hard, what I mean is I found myself writing the version of the events that I wish had happened, or romanticizing them. And I had to pull myself back in and take a massive fucking deep breath and constantly ask myself to tell my truth, not what I think other people will hear, or not the version of the truth that other people, that will mean that other people like me more, but just my fucking truth, regardless as to the judgment that may come my way. And that's hard. And so while I'm talking about how shit my writing is, that was a great distraction, I think, from what I found to be a very confronting subject matter. And then the fifth thing that I came up with that I wrote down on a piece of paper is that I think quite often, if I'm going to be really kind to myself, I think quite often, I think all humans do this, we don't see what we're naturally good at. Because we're naturally good at it, we don't realize that other people might not be. So it's not that we look at other people who don't have a certain skill set that we have and berate them for it. But it's just like, guys, it's just writing though, isn't it? Like, it's just me writing down what I think in my head. Or, you know, I just get up on stage and I just talk. That's just what I do. You know, it's like people who are really good at swimming. It's like, yeah, you just get in the water and swim. If you put me in the water without a fucking armbands on, I'm likely to drown. So for me, it's not just getting in the water and swimming. It's really fucking hard, life-threateningly hard. People are like, oh yeah, I just whipped this up in the kitchen. I'm like, are you joking? Do you know what I whip in the kitchen? I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and that's it. I have a dance party in my kitchen. That is it. Make a cup of tea. You know, what we see as our normality, other people see as skill or talent. But because it's our normal, I suppose, or because, you know, those skills that we have, or those talents that we have, talent and skill, I think, are slightly different. You can apply skill to your talent and you can become masterful. But I'm very aware that for whatever reason, whether it was nature or nurture, I've always been very good at writing. And so when it's not to my standard, I consider that it's poor writing. But my level of not so good writing is still probably better than most people can produce. To be kind and compassionate to myself, I have to acknowledge that's probably one of the things that's going on as well. So when I look at those five things, am I doing it for significance and attention? Am I lowering expectation in the same way that we forbode joy? Is it playing straight into my victimhood? Is it a distraction technique from a subject which is really hard for me to write about? And is it just that I can't see what feels natural to me as a skill? Probably all five of those things are true. And so now what do I do about it? And is it even a problem? And I think one of the things that I need to look at here is, well, what's the consequence of me publicly calling out my writing as shit when it's not? And one of those consequences is that I then believe it. I tell you that my writing's not very good. I say it over and over again, because what we say repetitively in our minds, or through the spoken word, or the conversations that we involve ourselves in, or the shit that we listen to on the television or podcasts or music even, you know, like what we hear on a regular basis, what we hear spoken around us and what we speak ourselves will become true. It just will. It will manifest. If you're always saying that men are assholes, your experience of men will be that they are assholes. If you're saying that making money is hard, your experience of making money will be hard. And so the narrative, be very careful. I talk to my clients all the time about stories, all the time. There's whole modules that I do about the stories that we tell ourselves and how we need to go back and rewrite the story that we have told about ourselves so that we can have a completely different future for ourselves. Really important. You know, one of the consequences of me continuing this behavior is that I will begin to believe it myself, and maybe I will stop writing, or it will get harder and harder and not easier and easier, or, you know, not even harder or easier. It will just be, but I don't want to make it harder. The second thing is it's really fucking boring for everyone else, and the universe is giving me that feedback. People are like, Em, come on, like, stop it. Kind of, you look like a bit of a knob, actually. We've heard this story a million times before, and we've got evidence to disprove the story that you're saying, and any minute now you're going to look like a bit of a twat. And I can't disregard that evidence. I have to, it doesn't feel nice to see it necessarily, but again, I have to witness myself and be like, okay, here's the opportunity for me to correct this behavior so I can make a different result. And, you know, when I look back at my behavior through my 20s and my early to mid 30s, there's a lot of that I am very ashamed of and not proud of and would never do now. But if I hadn't developed the skill and the strategy and the formula and the technique in the safe space, which I now have given wholeheartedly to my clients to do the same thing, I would still be in that loop. I would still be doing that behavior and blaming other people and acting like a bit of a dick and, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about anyway. You've never written a book. Like, I would be that person still, and I'm not, because I've had the integrity and the humility to turn around and go, okay, I'm going to witness the feedback that's coming to me here, and I'm going to say to myself, what does this say about me? And how else could it be? And so then I have to project into, okay, like, looking at all of these five things, I can put the significance thing down immediately, because you know what? I get enough significance. Like, if I want significance, I do a Facebook Live and I give I go and I do a keynote speech. I go and I run another workshop. I go and I give to my community. If I want significance, I give it to somebody else first, and then it comes back to me resourcefully. So I know I can change that quite quickly. The lower expectation, sort of foreboding joy, again, so much of this is just conscious awareness. Like, now I've got conscious awareness of that. And I know full well that even if I say, am I writing shit? If you say my writing shit, it's still going to hurt just as much. So I can kind of put that down, like literally put it down and be like, oh, okay, I'm consciously going to choose not to do that anymore. Victimhood is always going to be there. But again, with conscious awareness, my first thought will always be, how can I be a victim? My second thought will always be, how can I be the victor? How can I make this work for me and not against me? You know, how can I feel connected to my tribe, to my community, to my friends, to my loved ones, so that I don't need to rely on the connection to self through victimhood? And a lot, I'm finding a lot of that is also really helping through meditation and Kundalini, heaps and heaps and heaps, because I feel so connected to myself and the universe and my understanding of what God is, which has got nothing to do with religion, but it's like the energetic of the universe. Interestingly, I had a real download about this today. I'm going to do a little life lesson this week in this group, That Crazy Thing Called Life, and I'll record it as a podcast as well, about the universe has got your back. It fucking hasn't. It's just fucking bullshit. I can't handle that anymore. Can't handle hearing it. Anyway, a podcast is coming on that one. Then this idea of like distraction and the hardness of the topic, I think I just have to like see that courageousness is a strength, that vulnerability is a strength. It's not a weakness. And while I treat it like a weakness, it will be one. While I revere it like a strength, it will be one. So again, that's just like a shift in perception. And again, not seeing what feels natural. And I think so many of us struggle with this. It's just like, okay, I need to learn to receive. I need to learn to receive. I need to learn not to be embarrassed about being good at something. A fucking tall poppy syndrome, all that fucking shit. Like, I need to rise above that. And I need to realize that if I am to be a leader, then I need to demonstrate what greatness is. And it's okay that I have a skill and a talent. Privilege is absolutely fine. What's not okay is wasting it. Having a talent is absolutely awesome. It's only a shame when you waste it. When I think about how I want the rest of this experience to be, not just for myself, but for the community of people who watch my Instagram stories or follow me on Facebook or are in Em's book club or who even one day will read this book, I don't want it to be hard, and I don't want it to be a source of embarrassment for me. I don't want to use it as a weird game of significance. I don't want that. And so I now consciously am going to have to alter my behavior in that. So I'm going to have to think back to the thought, okay? It starts with the thought that transcends into an emotion, and that emotion will dictate the action that we take. So the next time Em's book club rolls back around a week on Friday, sure, I'll share my experience wholeheartedly, but I will no longer be telling you that I'm a terrible writer, because you know what? I'm actually all right at it. I'm pretty skilled at writing, and it's a talent that I have always had, and it is a skill that I'm developing more and more and more. And I really invite you, you know, if you know that you are receiving feedback about a strategy that you are putting out there, I invite you to sit down with a pen and paper and just list all the reasons that you might be, you know, doing whatever it is that you are doing. Like, sit down with a pen and paper and just ask yourself to witness yourself. For what purpose am I behaving this way, or am I creating this for myself? And then with love and compassion, ask yourself what's working and what's not working. What are the consequences of your actions or of your thoughts or of your behaviors? And how else could it be if you were to change it? So I trust that has helped. Let me just whack on through to some of these comments. Thanks everyone for watching. I find life is hard, let alone writing a book. Thank you, you're doing a great job. Getting up every morning is hard too. I feel that, I do feel that. Incredible message, you're welcome. I think number two is really your number one. Yeah, maybe, that's interesting, yeah. I don't think you're looking for significance at all. Not you, nope, I think that's sarcastic. And look, significance is great. It's one of the six core needs. Nothing wrong with having a need for significance. It's, are you having your need for significance met resourcefully or unresourcefully? So unresourcefully is like, oh my God, guys, I'm so bad at writing. Secretly really fucking good at writing. And resourceful significance is, hey, I've written this thing and I think it can really help. Do you want to read it? Massively different. Yes, it was exceptionally honest today. Woo! Hardest thing is always seeing and acknowledging your own strength. Yeah, even when someone tells you, it's really hard to accept. It really is. You know, and I think there's so many reasons. I was speaking to my next ever results clients about that in a live session that we had together just recently. We were talking about what is it that means that so many of us struggle to accept our own success or to see where we have done something really, really well. And again, there is that sort of sense of foreboding joy and lowering expectation. There's all other, there was so many, it was such a great discussion actually, because there's loads of stuff that came out of it. But I don't think any of us are alone in feeling like it can be really hard to receive compliments. And that's normally because I think most of us probably struggle with worth. And it's really hard to hear somebody else say, you know, you're really good at that, when fundamentally at your very root core, you don't believe that you are worthy of anything. I've been working on that with myself for 4 years. And it's what the fundamental of how I work with my clients is bringing them back to self-worth and unlearning the bullshit that we get taught around not being worthy. All right, lovely people, I trust that has been really, really useful. Thank you very much. If you've loved this and you're listening on the podcast, I would love it if you could share it. Please use the hashtag unashamedlyhuman. If you're listening on iTunes, please, please rate and review it. If you are not already a member of That Crazy Thing Called Life, the link for that group will be in the show notes. And thank you all very much for joining me.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychaborn.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.